It was what you were asking at the end of last week, and the questions you're bringing to the table shows we're learning to meditate inside the passage and ask the right questions. So no, I'm not looking to give the answers. That comes in the scriptures, not yes from illustrations you get from life, but inside of the scriptures. But I'd like us to, there's a couple assumptions inside of Acts 20. There, we were specifically working on verse 17 to 38. And we all end up gravitating toward the wolves line. We were talking about that. And I'd like you to figure out from inside that passage, what do you think would characterize those wolves? Inside that passage, there are things, there are plenty of other things we can say. But as he comes to them, we're looking at discipling is dealing with somebody else's soul before God. And what do you see in that passage that would make people wolves? What would characterize those wolves according to this passage? What can you find in there? You have to look at it by looking at the opposite. Paul says, here's what I'm doing, here's where I'm going, here's my my fears, here's my heart, and then he goes, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in, at not sparing the flock. What can you learn about wolves from this passage? And there's your question, Nicole. What can we learn about wolves, the characteristic of wolves from this Acts 20? What do you see? Go, Jim, and then Sandy.
Ones that might come in to the church, they can masquerade themselves as being somebody that's worthy of being there, but inside there's deceit, and they can hide it very well, but they infiltrate with whatever, you know, looks good to the rest of the congregation. The word is masquerade.
Okay. Masquerade. Rightly, people were asking last week, do you think all the wolves realize they're wolves? And I'm not sure that all of them do here. But what's characterizing them? He started bringing it out, but you say it in different words. Sandy, is there other mic or? Okay. What? I'm early this morning? Yeah? You didn't get to do your stretches? Oh, Brad's outside. Oh, I thought I was going too fast. Thank you so much. Yes, John will do it till Brad gets it. What? Yeah, I heard. No, I heard about it last week. We sang, we prayed, we're talk. No, it's all good. It's all good. I've been very encouraged by where we're going here. Sandy, go.
Well, kind of what he was saying, they can be among us. They can be part of us. And that's why he tells us to be alert, because sometimes I don't think the wolves know they're wolves.
Right. Right.
They are not aware that they're distorting the truth.
Okay. There. Among us. Distorting. The word in here, that distorting the truth, it says, the NAS says pervert. Okay, do you have something else? Another translation? ESV, NIV, King James, what do you got? Verse 30. Speaking perverse things. Perverse. Do you have something else? Give me another translation. Twisted. Okay? Distorting. Okay? Perverse. Twisted. Okay. And all right, somebody else have a... All right, stay and go, and I'll come back to that, because I want you guys to talk.
Yeah, the word perverse was one that was on my mind, but then later on, down in the next...
Whatever.
About several verses down, he talks about that he coveted no one's silver or gold. So I'm not sure if he was referring to people that were doing things to twist things to their ends for personal gain.
Okay.
Out of the deal possibly as well. Okay. That he saw fit to mention that. I don't want to put words in his mouth there, but...
Okay. Perhaps material gain. No, guys, my point is we can all speculate. Our minds run everywhere trying to force you inside. Don't overspeak, all right? That's where you get the Jesus calling by Sarah Young and other stuff. They mean well, but they start jumping off of Christianese, all right? The Lord gave me this word. Okay, what do you mean he gave you this word? And then finally, you know, she'll come out and say, no, this isn't just devotional thoughts. This came directly from God. It's like, whoa. But that just comes from, well, if I'm praying, did God answer? God answered my prayer. Well, what do you mean by that? All right? And so fine, give each other room for a little slop. Don't be like heresy sniffers everywhere. Give people some room to mess up. But after a while, you say, whoa, this has now gotten pretty far away from what he was saying. So try to say and use words like Stan's saying. I don't want to read into it, but perhaps material gain. There's some kind of gain because it says they're looking to draw away after them. Draw away after them. So they're a person of influence. All right. Now, many of the people that I think that have caused trouble through the years here have said, well, I don't know. It's not me. It's God. I'm not trying to do anything. You know, hey. And that's why you'll see a little grin on my face. It's like, look, like Sandy said, you know, maybe I'm a false teacher. Maybe you're false. We're not so much trying to protect ourselves and call out names. We're trying, I hope, to be faithful to walk with God. As we're faithful to walk with God, we're defending the honor of his name. That's very different from just protecting your own self. I'm smart. I'm able to discern who's bad and who's good in here. See, I've heard that for years too. Well, I don't know. I think I have this knack of discernment. Discernment based on what? All right, so as we look at perhaps material gain, seek influence or to use. Definitely seek to use influence. What? Forgive me. Linda, go.
As Sandy was saying about the wolves, yeah. I would say it's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right. Right. Okay. So, and come on.
Pretenders.
Yes. All right. So the words are similar, right? And maybe they're the same. You know, this is the ongoing issue of, well, what do you do when somebody writes a book or they write a song or something that it's like we agree with everything except, well, where did their life go? And then all of a sudden we're like, well, what do we do with that? And just my initial thing would be to say, well, watch the influence now. In the future, you look back and say, that's a beautiful song they wrote. Pray for the one who wrote it. And I do that with every time I sing one of those from 20 years ago where I know they messed up, 100 years ago, 400 years ago. And I've told you a couple of them in our hymn book. So you realize these aren't just hymns. These are people, and some of those people were a mess. Phillips Brooks, little town of Bethlehem. All right? They're not. We, if he was around now, we wouldn't be singing his songs now. And you look back and you go, well, that's a couple hundred years ago. And you start looking, there's a lot of mess inside of people that profess. So when she's saying there's a masquerade, so we're saying uses right words. Right words. You remember this whole thing, though, isn't just to create suspicion in the church. And I'll come back to that, too. All right? That's where people get the you know, when they say, well, they're just a fundamentalist. All right? You got to figure out what they mean and realize they're using that as derogatory. But fundamentalist meant you care about the fundamentals. So in its purest sense of the term, you should say, yeah, fundamentalist. That's why my dad runs around and goes, I'm charismatic. He goes, I care about the gifts. But see, it depends. And I growl at him and he growls at me about you've got to make sure that people are willing to understand the definitions. What do you mean by? What do you mean by these different things? So they're using the right words, And I'm afraid of that when we come in and we try to clean up people's words. They go, oh, well, you guys don't say that. Well, if you're not careful, we just teach the lingo and we never get to the heart of it. Sheldon?
It's hard for me to, I don't know how to say it like in the right way almost, but I'll just say it, like say it the way I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to picture a wolf hiding in a sheepfold.
Right.
The tendency of a wolf is very clear to devour. So
fine.
I look at it as a sure. Like when you see the examples of some of the stuff that Paul calls out in the scriptures and all this, it's blatantly obvious. And even some of the people that I've interacted with and like communicated with that were clearly like deceptive in their scripture, in their viewing of scripture, it's not subtle. They're very aggressive,
right,
with their teaching. And it's to me, like some of it, I sit there and I look at them and I'm like, you're clearly deceived.
Right.
Like, how in the world,
right,
like, are you even, that. like, they're, it seems like their minds are twisted.
Right, right.
And they're clearly not sheep. I mean, for me, it's like, I'm not, like, it's not like I feel better than they do by saying that. But when I see someone sitting there and arguing over things that are clearly drawn, the Bible draws a clear line, and they're arguing against it, to me, it's like, your opinion, the opinion that you have is clearly, like, of your own ideas, trying to force something maybe that you want to see or believe in your own mind.
See or believe. See, there's such a balance. Do you realize? I was told years ago, why are you doing Sunday school like this? You're giving away your platform. You are there to teach them. Okay? When you put it on the floor like this, you're allowing, well, I think. And some of you have said that. It's like, well, you'll take whatever we say and you try to make it work because you don't want us to feel bad. Well, I didn't come here to help others not feel bad. It's either right or it's wrong, okay? And you go, well, it isn't about feelings. Hang on, because if you're not careful, what we're calling a wolf here is they're saying, look, I'm telling you the truth. This is what it is. I'm telling you the truth. And then somebody else goes, no, I'm telling you the truth. That's a wolf. Well, there you get the church fights. Right? Forget about attitudes and personalities, and that's a lot of it. But after a while, they just go, no, this is nuts. I don't have to listen to this. Now, we're here 25 years. The first years, after everybody smiles and says, we all love Jesus, and then you start talking, and very quick, there was a bunch of people that put their hands like this and say, you keep talking like this, and I'm not going to be around here. Those are the first years. Now I'm afraid. Okay, we're talking. For the most part, we stick around. Even if you go, I don't agree with this, I don't like it. All right, now I'm more afraid of passive, whatever, John David, whatever. You have your opinion, I have mine, I'll tolerate it. You make me mad, but I can get over it. I'm big enough to forgive you, and I'll go on. All right, and that's what we're combating in here. We're trying to say, inside of these passages, we're saying, if you think we're that off. We don't need to have a, you know, knockout, drag out everywhere. But you don't even have the armor of God enough to be able to say, hey, John, I don't want to be the object of all your sermon illustrations. I don't really want to talk to you right now. You make me uncomfortable. But for God and because of this issue, I'm concerned when you say this and this and this. Can we talk? And what are you expecting? Me to say, oh, wow, that's cool that you think that. I'll just switch everything I'm thinking. You go, well, and then I've heard that. Well, he'll never switch, so why try? Well, you know what that plays out? I tried talking to her. I tried talking to him. Night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, on behalf of all those who have not seen my face, that their hearts may be knit together in love. For this I labor and strive, so that I may present every man, woman, complete in Christ. Guys, don't be humanistic. We're not just basically good people that if somebody came at the right tone and the right timing, we'd all of a sudden just say, you're right. There's so much more in here. So when we say twisted is implying that there is a final standard. And for us, the standard isn't impersonal. It's personal. It's with God. So when we're talking about, well, that person's opinionated, stay out of their way, you've given in to the spirit of the age. Of course, that we want, you are opinionated, whether you say it or not, whether you're compliant or loud, you're opinionated. The wolves in here are determining, all right, by the truths they are living and saying inside the body. I've told you, your name comes up. I'm in and out and among. I think that's what a healthy shepherd should be. I've been called a troublesome meddler and all the other things that the Bible says. I believe you can't shepherd souls unless you're involved in their life. I also don't act on much of what I hear. I just watch and listen. Okay? And I'm not saying they're wrong, but, and I'd rather we just say, hey, yeah, I'm uncomfortable with this. And then realize, as I prayed on the way here to church this morning, what did it take for you to grow so that you're less twisted? What did it take for your household? You go, oh, it's my household, bleh. You know, well, what did it take for you and other families? We're talking in youth group about what is needed for us to grow as a church, common goals and identity. Do we have common goals? If you're not careful, you let somebody else do the work for you, and then you just agree or disagree. That's a far cry from you yielding to the head. Nicole, do you remember where you're going?
I was kind of on the opposite of what Sheldon was saying.
Go.
And to the more passive, aggressive side,
yeah,
of it.
Go.
Like, that you have people in a congregation who sit there with their arms crossed, or who,
yeah,
are the quiet dissenters.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to go to pastor and say,
right,
hey, I think you're wrong.
Right.
But I'm going to talk about it with my,
right,
family,
right,
and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you create that little circle of people who all know that pastor's wrong.
Right. 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 So it's looking in now go to the text, right? Do you hear what she says? Whether it's active or else passive. I think we sometimes rule our circle of influence with a raised eyebrow. That's it. You didn't say anything, right? You just raise your eyebrow, and everybody's like, yeah, you raise your eyebrow, I raise my eyebrow, right? And you have the eyebrow-raising group in the church, right? And you go, well, stop! Now you're saying anybody that disagrees with you. No, you're not listening. We're saying when it's not up on the surface, slowly working through it a piece at a time. Remember? Want us to be the best disagreeing member. Why are you disagreeing? Because we have different experiences, different personalities, different. We're at different places in our Christian walk, and you're a sinner. You're trying. You're not in fellowship with God yourself, a holy God. You know, you go, well, I don't know, I confessed all my known sins. You confessed all your known sins, and that means you think like God. You go, well, I don't know, nobody's perfect. That's right. And so I'm just saying, because of that, there's a million reasons why you need to fight for fellowship with God, and then that compounds with every other person you're tied to. So then there's going to be drama. That's why I say the best disagreeing marriage. Don't want you to disagree. Want you to be tied to the Lord. I'm safest around you when you go, he's making me so mad, but... And you go talk to God, and God says, well, he's my kid, so, and he's my servant, and hey, go think again. You go, all right, if I have to. See, we do better with God, with each other, if we first look to God. All right, but can just pull out of here, out of the passage. Look, you're right, this stuff's it's all in there by implication. Can you see in the passage... Right, you got somewhere here? I'll let you go where you're going to go. But please, because this is all good talk, but everybody's just going to then say, and it applies to you or her, and I'll hear this over and over. It's like, well, I'm not saying they're not a Christian, but it's like, well, maybe you're saying, I wonder if they're a Christian. Okay, fine. But then we're going down to the value system. And you say, well, I can't judge that. Well, how can you reach people for the gospel if you think everybody's saved? How can you help somebody grow if you think their eyes aren't on Christ in a right way? How can they grow if their lives are so filled with distractions that they can't see that their center is off? You have to make judgments. What can you see from this? Where are you going, John?
Yeah. So what the title of wolves says about these people.
Okay.
That they're cunning. The wolves, and it's kind of been said, and I heard Sheldon talking to somebody that he's expressing the same thought I had last week, that if you've ever seen a pack of wolves hunt, whether it's bison or sheep in this case, they separate. They don't go after the whole thing. It's they're not enough of them to go after the whole thing. So they're going to separate. They're going to pull apart. But also, he says that I know when I depart, savage wolves will come. They know when to come in. They know that if the shepherd is home, there's no dice. It's going to be way harder for them. So they know that they have to wait. They're not going to do. They're going to wait for the easiest time to do something. They pick on the young ones, the sick ones. They wait for the best opportunity for them.
Timing, opportunity. I don't know. Fine, I'll say weak ones. All right, but I need you to realize a lot of what we're saying is also part of good parenting and good shepherding. What do you think about how we handle the youth group? Some of it's your kids. When we get to be a healthy church, you'll stop saying, my kid is in that youth group. You say, our kids are being discipled. What are we doing with our kids? You go, well, yeah, but that one's mine. Yeah, you realize I got 7 of my own in there. And I'm not always happy with the influence of your kids on my kids. You're not happy with my kids on your kids. I got it. It gets kind of messy. But they're souls. They're souls. What should we do with them? Now, I intentionally divide and conquer them too. So I want to. What do I do? When I look at a pack, you go, those guys. I don't want you to hang with those guys. Yeah, I got it. But what should we do with those guys? I divide them up. I look for. Wait, where's the weak link in there? Where's anybody that has a heart for anything? How can I get close to that one and draw that one away from the pack? If it's your kid, you're very thankful. If it's our kids, you start looking and saying, no, that one that gets a soul back from the error of his way has saved his soul from sin, and whatever that verse is, end of Jude, and I think 2 Peter. Okay? So what I'm want to say here is be very careful. What we have is people shepherding in different directions. That's what you have. It's very similar. You call them wolves, but they're wolves because of where they're taking them. You call the devil because of where he's taking them. Okay, but some of the process are the same, which is why I'll say I'll get called those names too. And you heard Sheldon last week. They went right before the elders and said, well, I'm going to the wolves in sheep's clothing. They had no problem calling their leaders that, all right? It depends on something else, all right? I eventually, say whatever you want to say, but please read the text. Read the text. I can see things inside this text right there. You just say it. You don't feel very profound when you say, what's it? You say, well, I don't know, but it says right here that, all right? What's going to distinguish these wolves from shepherds? But anyway, where are we? Yeah, go, Stan.
Yeah, the obvious contrast here is that he's setting himself up as an example of what a wolf does not look like. And so if we get that context, he goes on to mention a few things that I think are telling. One is that he shared with them the whole purpose of God. He wasn't just concerned about one angle. Like he was there doing the whole umbrella, if you will, of teaching them everything regarding the gospel. Everything that God had to say about things that were important, which further down he uses the terms describing them about the inheritance and those who are sanctified. So his work is to sanctify them. Wolves often are not concerned about sanctifying. They're there to make a point about something, whether for their gain or whether it's something new that they're tantalizing people with, or it's almost never fit into the context of the whole counsel of God. It's usually singling out one major point of disagreement.
Thank you.
That they create a faction with.
26.
And it's not towards sanctification. It's not towards the the whole purposes of God. It's not about building up the body of Christ.
Sanctification has to be clearly defined. See, this is where I've taken war on homeschoolers, war on the family. You know, you get a lot of these groups, and that's what they say. Well, all I'm trying to do is help you have a godly family. All I'm trying to do is help you take God-given responsibility, train your own children. See, and they're well-meaning, that training your own children, your family, these are important, but they're not the center, the whole counsel of God. When you sanctify, you go, well, I just want my kid around good influences. No kidding, I want my kid around good influence. Are you a good influence as an adult, let alone a kid? Are you a good influence? Were you helping my kid understand the whole counsel of God? Are you a good influence on me? You helping me to understand the whole counsel of God? So we say the wolves are not concerned about the whole counsel of God. Remember David Pollison, we unbalance the truth for the sake of personal ministry. We rebalance the truth for the sake of, I can't remember the last line. Yeah, biblical comprehensiveness. And comprehensive means the whole thing, right? That's what you want when you get car insurance, right? I hate home insurance. No matter what I ask, they go, well, that's not covered. Do you want flood insurance? Do you want, you know, for your sump pump? And I go, what does this thing cover? What does my home insurance cover, right? See, you want, at the end of the day, you want to make sure you're with God, not the God that you've made, the God of perfect families, the God that gets rid of my temper, the God that helps me not be overweight, the God that, yes, but. So you see, when you're, this is Paul Tripp in A Quest for More, all right? Sin shrinks our world to the size of our world, right? As God gets a hold of our heart, he's concerned about everything. We have to be concerned about everything. You go, I can't be concerned about everything. No, then cast your care on him. And you go, well, I'm trying. Well, no, but you need to do it while you realize, well, what's God doing? Well, I'm doing that. Well, I'm not focused on that. I can't. If I focus on that, my head explodes. So I can't focus. No, but that's where God is. You say, Lord, would you be glorified over here? Lord, would you be glorified over here? Lord, help their marriage to get better. My marriage is a wreck, but their marriage, no, stop. Your marriage is here. But you want God glorified in marriages, so you're excited when their marriage goes, and then you don't give up hope on your own. See, it can't. And you go, well, I can't handle this. It's just too much. Cast your care on him. So the wolves, though, are going to appeal to you. Why? Because they're going, don't worry about that. Here. Well, I'm not saying, yeah, of course we believe all that, but here, and that's why we said, where's your YouTube channels? What are your podcasts? Where is your time? Where is your mind? Where is your mind running back to? I'm concerned that as Eve was deceived, that you'd be taken away from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Timothy 1:5. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. And a good conscience, a sincere faith. All right, go, Sandy.
Stan jumped ahead of me because I was going to go to the whole purpose of God, too. But he talks
about... No, that's good, but there's more there,
so go. He talks about that, and this may take it away from your question a little bit.
No, go where you...
But then he says in 31,
thank you,
to be on the alert, and... I did not cease to admonish each one with tears.
Come on.
So he cared enough to, like I said earlier, sometimes wolves don't know they're wolves. So he cared enough to admonish them with tears,
we'll take that.
With a heart that cared about the words that they were saying or the way they were misleading or whatever. So he is trying to bring them back. And do we care enough about each other to do that?
Personal involvement in mess and danger. That's the one that, the one of the discipline passages. You know there are three main discipline passages, 1 Corinthians 5, Matthew 18, and Thessalonians, somewhere, 2 Thessalonians. I think the Thessalonians, they're different focuses. And that's why Remember's like, well, we need to do church discipline. Well, discipline is part of discipling. And if we can get discipling right, discipline will happen as a consequence. It won't be this big draconian thing where we kill people. You start realizing that it is the only loving thing to do. What father is there who doesn't discipline his children? Otherwise, they hate you. All right? Well, discipline, all right? But in that Thessalonians passage, it talks about don't treat them as an enemy, have nothing to do with somebody. In that case, it was ones that were looking for Christ's return. They weren't working. They were just going around talking about God and not doing what they were supposed to do. Have nothing to do with them. But don't treat them as an enemy. Treat them as a brother. How do you have nothing to do with them and treat them as a brother? Sounds kind of like telling your kid, time out, go to your room. You're not going to fellowship with us at supper. But when you think through this, you come back. What's an adult version of a timeout look like? No. We're not going out for a burger tonight. We got to talk about, I don't want to talk about that. Well, then we're not going out for a burger. That's mean. Well, I don't know. Why? See, that all right? But then the other one, back to what she said. Where's the one? Help me, guys. Why am I going blank on this? And that they may come to their senses, having been held captive by the devil to do his will. Where? Yeah. No. Turns them over to Satan is the 1 Corinthians 5 one. They may come, Ephesians? Galatians? No, not Galatians. And that they may come to their senses, having been held captive by the devil, if perhaps God may grant them repentance. 2 Timothy 2? If perhaps they may come to repentance, having been held captive by the devil to do his will. Somebody Googled that really fast. Thank you. 2 Timothy? Read it. Read 25 or something, whatever makes sense to read. Listen, yes, that's what I wanted. That's a little louder. Tima.
The snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will.
Right. With gentleness correcting, that's the exact one I wanted. With gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. Correcting those that are in opposition. And you go, I tried, but they're dangerous, so I'm staying away from it. I got it. But can it be both? Your tears usually stop when you think, I don't like you, you're a pain, you're messing things up, okay? See, but that happens in our house, right? Some kid said in youth group, remember when I said about the be kind, the don't lie, all the commands in Ephesians 4, I said, where are these hardest to carry out? They said, in our family, because those people, he said, we treat them like they're not people. The people in our family, they're not people. Everybody outside is a people, but the people inside, they're not people, okay? And that care, you saw the care, a shepherd cares. Now, that being said, if we could be deceived with all that, well, then the Antichrist, I just care about you. See, it gets a little tough. But we're looking for signs, and one of those signs, and that's why the don't let the door hit you on the way out. Do I have an attitude? You know I do, because I've been listening to pastors say stuff like that. You know what? I told them, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I hear that again and again and again from people that are supposedly in our circles. And you know what I said? Thanks a lot. You just wanted them out of your church because they were a pain in the neck. And then they came over to my church. You go, well, I don't know. They're an okay person. You're like, you're a liar. They were a pain in your neck. And you don't care enough to work with them. And now they're over here. And you're going to help me work with them? And now they're over there? That's what you see him saying. Wolves, stop it. And then you go, well, what are we going to do with them? Well, there's a whole bunch of tears as you go for them. Who's next? Dave, then Dan. I'm sorry.
Just a question. I'm sorry if we already, like, hammered this out last week.
Go.
Or whenever, but I'm a little confused because I thought the wolves were people who are actually unregenerate and thinking that they are saved. But it sounds like we're saying this can be just Christian people, born-again Christian people getting off track. And now I'm confused.
And which is why when people are like, I don't think they're saved. It's like, and you say, why do you say it like that? You might be right. But saved or not saved doesn't fix the problem. Saved people can be a pain in the neck, and unsaved people can be a pain in the neck, and both of them can destroy the things of God. And you say, well, then don't say it like that. Well, what do you need to do? You need to be under Christ so that whether they are saved or not saved, you're not only representing Christ, but you have the 2 Timothy 2, where if perhaps God may grant them repentance. Who's he talking to in there? I don't have time to go to all these passages. You look, come back and tell me, tell each other as you chat during the week. I don't mind this. I'm trying to get the discussion going. This would be healthy if you discuss these kind of things during the week, okay? I think some of these passages are talking about saved people. The Matthew 18 one says, if they're not even listening to one, they don't listen to two, they don't listen to the whole church, well, then you better treat them as an unbeliever. Saying, you don't see the final thing that they are an unbeliever. You say that no believer who cares about fellowship with God is going to be like, sorry, I'll be crude. If you look at me and say your zipper's down, because it's embarrassing and awkward, I will do something there. I don't care. I won't even look. I don't care who you are. You say my zipper's down, I'm going to do something, right? If you say that there's the possibility of that much separation between me and God, I should look at my heavenly zipper. Where'd that come from? You'd have no right. If you say zipper around me, you better believe I'm going to do something, right? And see, I don't think you don't care about sin that much. That as soon as somebody says it, you go, you have no business. Why don't you look at your own life? See, that shows that we don't care about fellowship with God. We care more about appearances with that. So that's why we're saying, if you don't care about fellowship with God, then how can we say you're born again? So either way, when it talks about the sin that so easily entangles, if when you are drowning in your own sin, you're drowning in porn, you're drowning in unforgiveness, you're drowning in laziness, you're drowning in whatever, you know what you're doing? You're quenching the Spirit of God. You know what you're doing when you quench the Spirit of God? You lose the right to feel the assurance of promises of God on your life. You know what? Whether you're a believer or not, you're going to feel like an unbeliever. You're separated. You had a spiritual timeout between you and God. Well, you say, well, what do I need to do? Confess your sins. Confess your sins. And trust in the gospel to bring you back to God. So, yes, Dave, I'm not sure here, and again, this is not an exposition of this. That's why keep these discussions going. But then look carefully. What are the clues in here? Here he's saying there are things that are going to tear this place apart, and that's what we're saying. I don't want anything that's going to tear this place apart. And then you look, what will build it up? What will build it up in here? Darla, something quick on this? Yeah. Yeah, it's coming. I got to collect back here then afterwards. Go.
So verse 29 says, savage wolves will come in among you.
Right.
So possibly from the outside.
Yeah.
And then from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things. And then there's just a little cross-reference. Let's see. Verse 29 about savage wolves, and this one sends me to Ezekiel 22. Where it's talking about her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. Mm-hmm. And her prophets have... Okay, so it goes on talking about it's all bad. Mm-hmm. The people of the land have practiced opposition and so forth, and I'm looking for a man who will stand in the gap.
Right.
That passage. So I think it could be both according to it.
Which is why I say, you want kids to come into Bible school. Why do you want them to come in? So we look good? I don't know. That's probably in there for me somewhere. You want them to all come to Christ? Well, that's in there somewhere. Do you realize that whatever mess you have with people in here, you bring them in, you're bringing in more mess? You go, well, no. They're the nice, perfect family that I always imagined Christians should be. Well, good luck with that. They're like you and I. If they come to Christ, they still have to grow in Christ. To say you're growing in Christ means that you're causing trouble. You go, well, there are we all wolves? I think we need to hate sin a little more and grow in our dependence on God. Somewhere you might find out you've been the problem in your marriage when you were sure it was all the other person. Somebody else might think that. Can you handle that? I'm talking to myself. You might be well-meaning standing for the truth in this church, and you might be wrong. You might say, you can't make me do this till I get it. Okay, fine. You don't get it, so then don't do it. But you realize you could be a sand in the wheels holding other people because they're going, well, I'm not going to move till I get it. I got it. Is there a way that you could say, a little nervous about this part, working on this part, but I'm supportive of this part. Here we go. Okay? All of it is going to show whether you are following Christ or you're following another person or yourself. Dan, go.
Well, the way the wolves spend their time is different.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Verse 31, right. Paul said, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, right. I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. That was, if that was his focus for 3 years, that's kind of crazy. And then back in verses, Well, 19, it goes back to humility. He did it with Sandy. Humility and tears. And then he said, and then verse 20, we did not shrink from declaring you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. Anything that's profitable, it was talking about talking to Jews and Gentiles somewhere in there. It was like, a lot of the Jews did not like hearing about who Christ claimed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't like him touchy. Saying he was mm-hmm. God. And, like, for me, I would want to choose my battles at different times. This is what Paul was doing. Will probably back away at certain times and choose his battles more carefully in certain areas because his goal is not to, his goal might not be to save the lost as much as it is to do something else.
Whoa. Now, folks, we're shepherd focused. Teaching all, even in face of conflict and rejection. Not focused, we're shepherd focused. Teaching all in the face of conflict. Sorry, Nicole, that I can't even read that. Face of conflict and rejection. Not willing. To do what it takes to pursue them. We're getting there, people. The last time we attempted to come close to a church discipline thing was the first time in 25 years. Instead of people going, oh, I don't think that's wrong. We had somebody like that. And then whatever. But we had a whole pile of you come and say, well, then what does that mean? What should our responses be if we're going to vote on this? I want to know my responsibility. I thought, that's what we're looking for. When you keep saying, I could see that coming, just let them go. I told you that's another thing I burn at. It used to be that when somebody showed up from another church, the pastors would call each other the next day and say, hey, all right, my friend John Walters, he was very gracious to us as a church and to the Wangers with his board, right? Made a plea for them. I said, do you realize that when we get married, I said that we're cursed because I tick people off or pastor ticks people off or you don't get people or whatever. We're here in this small building and somebody gets married. We're saying you can only have 130 friends or forget it. I said, what do? We can't get venues. They're costing way too much. People are all worried about the gay issue or people wrecking their building or abusing their sound system, and they're charging astronomical amounts even if we get in their building. I said, what do we do? He went to his elders, and the elders got done listening to his thing, and they said, you know what? Not only can we allow this sister church to do this, we have an obligation to help this sister church do this. We should. And that's what I wish, if we ever had a building, that we could see it as a ministry. It is a pain in the neck to have strangers come in here. That means somebody has to be over here and watch. You put a hole in the wall. Somebody has to see that. That's what, you know what? I work with the kids. But yes, some of you would go nuts if you saw what goes on in here Thursday night. This is a gym. And that's so far from what my dad and I grew up with. You walk into the sanctuary, it was holy. I still want that. I think we can turn it around and say, right now, today, it's a sanctuary. On Thursday night, sorry, flowers, right? As we watch the games, we got a whole bunch of advisors running around the building going, whoa, what are we going to save now? As the balls fly up among the fans and stuff, right? Oh, we went through the wall again over here. And I call that ministry money. We beat on them plenty. Hey, that's the third time we've done that hole. Maybe we could learn something here. It's messy as you work with people. But see, if we can get this individually and you would serve here, then we do this as a church. Then we do it between churches. Then we're getting the gospel out with that. It's messy and it takes time to pursue. But here's where I was going. John Walters, he's got his own issues in that church. But you know what? He texts me right after service and he goes, hey, yo, we had somebody from the Bowmansville area. Are they part of your flock? Immediately. And I go, well, who are they? He goes, you know, brown hair, bushy tail. I go, nope, we don't have any of those here. And, you know, and then he goes, good, I just wanted to check. See, that's how it used to be. Now, when you figure it out, what are you going to do about it? Well, that's the next thing. He goes, well, yeah, we lost somebody from here to there. And he goes, John, I'm sorry. That was one of our people that met him in a parking lot and said, oh, we like you. Why don't you come to our church? He goes, bleh. Meaning he's wrestling with that stuff there. We're wrestling with it here. It's not perfect. But it's people that are going to say, I want to do what I can to pursue them. That means you have to pursue. And here's one more rant. Why do people get more attention and care when they leave here than when they're here? We should love them. You're darn right we should love them. You should have been doing it the last 5 years when they were in here. It's that serious. That's what we're talking about in here. Where is it? Dave.
I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree, but the other side of the coin is that when you said gym, it made me think, like, okay, back to the old boxing analogy, but in the boxing gym, when you go to the boxing gym, you got a couple different types of guys. You got guys who are serious about training to fight, and you got guys who want to look cool, and you got guys who want to go in there just to try to connect with the pretty girls or whatever.
Right. Many motives.
And right. The only guys that are really welcome in that gym are at Nye's gym are the guys who are there to fight mm-hmm. and train seriously.
Fine.
And it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever. But the guys who are serious about being there for the right reason, those guys get better and do more. They, you know, like in the sport, they lose weight, they get in better shape, they get better technique, they look better and better over time because they're serious about being there. But it takes hard work, and you got to like stick your neck out there and take some punishment.
Right.
The guys who are there who are not there for that reason,
right.
They get pushed out pretty quick because they get pressured to do those things and they don't want to do them.
Right.
That model, I think, is exactly what we need because we don't need people who are in here like, nobody's caring for me, caring for me, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's like, go hit the bag. And you know, I struggle with training with Christian stuff.
Yeah.
Training in God's kingdom is harder for me than training my body. But
right.
But it's like, go hit the bag. How long?
That's right.
Until I say stop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Hit the bag. You're gonna jab the bag 500 times, and then you're gonna get in the ring, and you're gonna get beat up, and then you're gonna jab the bag 500 times again.
Right.
And it's like, if you're not there for that reason, really, you don't want those guys in your gym. And when they leave because they're mad and whining, that's a good thing. The gym gets better.
Right. Right. Yes. And that's why we're saying, and then, yes, I will put Sheldon out there until he says, stop, I've got enough marketing going on in my direction. Sheldon says, yes, so we need that study, behold our God. And I'm saying, first you're going to have to realize maybe you don't have as much affection for God as you think you do. And that's only going to come as you start interacting, you say whatever. And I love it. I love setting his buttons off. It only comes as you interact with others and you realize, wait, I thought we were all here for to train for fighting. I thought we were all here for the purpose of godliness. And why do you think he's running around teaching, teaching, teaching? He's not trying to set them all off. This is the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. No, fine, whatever on your tacos, but back to the gospel. You know, whatever else you want to talk about. Are we coming back to the gospel? And you go, why are we hearing over and over, again on flyer nights, that, oh, your church actually does the spiritual part for VBS? What does that mean? They go to a church that we would say is basic in the same direction. You go, don't judge them. They're kind of like us. Yeah, they're kind of like us. Why are they saying, you guys just do the pure Bible thing? I don't think we do. We got people in here going, well, there's not enough Bible in it. All right, what's going on? So, but on the other side, who's coming in here? And when you say, we don't want people like them, we are not the Navy SEALs in here. All right? We are a collection of people created and loved by God, tied by our relationship to God. You go, well, who's tied? That should concern you in here. Where are the souls? Not judgmentally. Care for them. That's what he did. All day long, I've held out my hands to a stubborn and obstinate people. Dacia, Sandy, I'm going to be quiet.
I was just thinking, like, in David Paulson's book, How Sanctification Works.
A little louder.
He talks about how usually when we do sanctification and we're trying to disciple people, we focus on, like, a couple small things, like things that have been helpful for us. And it's not wrong, but he says, like, he gives, like, a list of, like, 10 things where it's like, okay, you know, if you would just focus on, like, how you've been forgiven by Christ, if you would just serve more, maybe you'd be less selfish. If you would just think about how you've been justified, then you wouldn't be seeking, I don't know, covering. You wouldn't be seeking approval from everybody
all
else.
Yes.
And he was like, well, that's, like, if you're holding out just one truth to people, like, that's doesn't, like, that's not where all of sanctification happens.
Right.
And, like, just because, like, that one thing has been helpful for you to meditate on doesn't mean that it's going to fix that same struggle in that person.
Right.
Like, wolves are not concerned about, like, the tears and, like, the admonishing for day and night. They're not, like, they run when it starts to cost them personally, when it doesn't fit in, like, the nice, comfortable boundaries that we like to put around, like, our Christian service and ministry. And, like, we have to do so much more work to care for each other's souls.
So much more work. Sandy?
So, whether it be the gym or a church, yes, there are going to be the ones who come in with the wrong motives who are going to leave, but there are ones who are going to come in with the wrong motives who are going to be inspired by more mature Christians than they are and work towards the goals that they did not know were there before.
All right, Jonathan Lehman, Pastor's Talk a couple issues ago. Mark and Jonathan go back and forth. Some of you love and hate that. I say you need to interact with pastor's talk, and I'm going to throw the gauntlet down and say, if you get nothing out of pastor's talk, you're not going to understand where we're going here. If you all you hear is their opinions annoy me, well, you got to find out why your pastor is blessed by that. I'm talking with John down there at Harvest. Hey, did you get the last one? There's a reason. All right, here's where I'm going. Jonathan Lehman's strong. He's deep. He's written a lot of stuff. That doesn't mean he's right. But you know what he said? Mark said when he came into the church, he was a little full of himself, and he didn't listen too much, and he was pretty hard. And Jonathan's admitting that. All right? It was inside of a healthier church that his desires got changed. His humility grew. We have to be willing to deal with the mess. Lord, would you help us as we pick through this? This is tough stuff. The bullets are flying.